Will you please open your Bibles to 1 Kings and 2 Kings? 1 Kings chapter, the last chapter of that book, 22, beginning at verse 51, reading into 2 Kings, the end of chapter 1. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. For he served Baal, and worshipped him, and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel, according to all that his father had done. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, Go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, Arise. Go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him, that is, unto Ahaziah, he said unto them, Why are you now turned back? And they said unto him, There came a man up to meet us. And he said unto us, Go, turn again to the king that sent you, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, What manner of man was he that came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, He was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather around his loins. And he, that is Ahaziah, said, It is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, this is to Elijah now, and behold, he, Elijah, sat on the top of a hill, and the captain spoke unto him, Thou man of God, the king hath said, Come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again also Ahaziah sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus saith the king, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he, that is Ahaziah, sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up. And he came and he fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Now, therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, Go down with him. Be not afraid of him. And he, Elijah, arose and went down with him unto the king. And he, this is now Elijah again, said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Forasmuch as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. So he died according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken. And Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Beloved, especially verses 15 and 16. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, Go down with him. Be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Forasmuch as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. God bless the reading and the preaching of his word. Beloved, we come to the end of Elijah's ministry. In the very next chapter, he is going to be taken up to heaven and receive his reward. But in this pericope, we come to the working out of God's curse upon the house of wicked King Ahab. And the removal of the house of King Ahab is for the good, for the deliverance of God's people in Israel, for the 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Elijah is able to walk down there right into the center of Samaria unafraid because the Lord was with him and would preserve him. Oh, God's people do find, don't they? Psalm 46, that our God is a very present help in trouble. This whole passage now speaks about God's judgment upon wicked King Ahazi and also the house of Ahab. But God's word is not only negative. God doesn't merely judge and destroy, but he judges and he destroys so that in his judgment his church might be delivered and might be saved. So what we see in this chapter is judgment and deliverance. Yes, judgment on King Ahaziah, but what grace and deliverance is given to that third captain and his 50 men, and what preservation there is given to Elijah as he goes there in the den of iniquity, and also the deliverance that God gives his remnant in the northern 10 tribes. What we see in our chapter is reprobation and election. Not that the decree of reprobation stands independent of election. Not even that reprobation is equal to election. But this, that reprobation serves the purpose of God in election. And that purpose of God is to save unto himself in Jesus Christ a people out of all the nations of the world. So in our passage this evening, the destruction and the judgment comes upon King Ahaziah. And that is related, it is directly related to the safety and the preservation of the true Israel, the elect, according to God's grace. So Elijah confronts King Ahaziah. There on Mount Horeb, there was the tornado wind. There was that earthquake that shook the foundations of the earth. There on Mount Horeb, there was the fire that came down and burned. But God was not in either one, any one of those three savingly, but in destruction. And that is what the prophet Elijah is called again to do in our passage. We have seen him last time coming to King Ahab while he was in the vineyard of Naboth. And now he comes to King Ahaziah, who is laid up on his sickbed. As we look at Elijah confronting King Ahaziah, we're going to notice, first of all, the angel of the Lord that is spoken of. The angel of the Lord. Second of all, the hardening of Ahaziah. And that, thirdly, the minister of vengeance. Suddenly, Elijah is called again by God to appear publicly as the mouthpiece of Jehovah. He is called to come to the king of Israel. And he appears there, first of all, for Ahaziah's sake. Ahaziah is going to be made known of the reason for his judgment, because he walked in the sins of his father Ahab and in the sins of his mother Jezebel, and in the sins of Jehoram, who caused Israel to sin. He is going to come and confront Ahaziah. And the Lord is going to use this for Elijah's sake. No, the wicked do not go scot-free forever, but God punishes sin. Elijah comes before King Ahaziah for the sake of the remnant according to election, for God will deliver his people from the wicked. Yes, God's people, that remnant still in Israel, must know that Jehovah is God alone. They must know that God keeps his covenant forever and ever. They must know that God will give his glory to none other. And that's why we read in verses 3 and verse 15, the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron?" It is the angel of the Lord that comes to Elijah with his work that is cut out for him. Now, many times before we read that the word of the Lord came to him, that the Lord somehow spoke to him, but here we have the angel of the Lord himself. Who is that angel? That angel is God. That angel is the Son of God, the Word which was from the beginning. who was also made flesh later on. What we have in our passage is an Old Testament manifestation of Jesus Christ before his incarnation. And why does that angel come? Because that remnant of his people that are in those northern 10 tribes, they have been pestered. They have had evil leaders over them ever since the split, ever since the schism of the 10 tribes. And the angel of the Lord comes to Elijah in order that Elijah may assure his true people of salvation, to remind his people that Zion shall be saved by judgment. Remember, that is the theme of the book of Isaiah. God's judgment is good for his church. God's judgment in this world now, ongoing, but also eventually that judgment at the end of the world. Yes, he comes to save and to bring this good news, because God is faithful. God keeps covenant forever. He preserves his church no matter how small she is. The angel of Jehovah is against Ahaziah. What a manifestation of love and grace. The angel of the Lord is the angel of God's covenant, Christ Jesus. God keeps covenant forever, even when his people are not faithful and are not obeying. God keeps his covenant with his elect that are in Israel and his elect that are in the church still today. So Elijah comes with this message. The angel, Christ Jesus, is against Ahaziah. King Ahaziah, the son of King Ahab, is reigning only for 2 years. And in catechism, boys and girls, you learned that King Ahab was one of the most wicked kings of Israel, and yet his son even surpasses him in wickedness. For we read there, not only does he continue to serve Baal like his father King Ahab did, but he follows in the sins of Jezebel. There is no more harsh word that can be said. And he followed in the sins of those who made all of Israel to walk in sin with the golden calves. And what a difference. Because you'll remember that last week when King Ahab was outwardly sorry for his sin of murder and of stealing. While Ahab was outwardly sorry, King Ahaziah does not have one speck of sorrow. Rather, he becomes even more hardened in his sins. In the book of Revelation, we read, in the last days, they repented not. And what is taking place here in Israel's history is a very good picture of the world in the last days. He reveals himself as a man of unbelief, refusal to hear the word of God, refusing to look to God. Instead, he goes over to Ekron, and Ekron is one of the cities of the Philistines. He goes over there as if there is no God to hear him and to help him in Israel. He's going to go to the Philistines for their God and their God's help. What an awful picture King Ahaziah is to the ungodly. What an ugly picture of the church today when a man or a woman or child disobeys and rebels against their God and joins the world for its pleasures. God is angry. God brings a sentence of wrath, doesn't he? God's attitude to Ahaziah is not a smile, God loves you, but rather it is divine jealousy. What a warning. How easily the 10 tribes took from the world that was around them, the heathen nations, their customs, their practices, and even their idols. They accommodated themselves to those worlds. In fact, they became worse than those wicked nations around them. What a warning to us tonight. For this is written for our example, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We are supposed to be a light to the nations around us. And if the church compromises her message so that it sounds more and more like the world's message, if we compromise the message that God created the world in 6 days, and now we say, well, no, there is a kind of theistic evolution. God is using evolution for a long period to make the world. We are compromising. But not only in our doctrine, but in our life, in our practices. If we start behaving like the world around us, let me just give a couple illustrations where the church is doing that today, and we need to be warned. Where God has instituted marriage for the good of the human race, for the good of his church, that she may be born from their loins, God gave unto Adam his wife, Eve. And today the church is accommodating. So they say, there is also a good and godly love between a man and a man, that they can practice homosexuality, or a woman and a woman, lesbianism. And they say there must be room for that also in the church. That is accommodating. And the church that accommodates that way in doctrine or in life better take heed to the warning that is brought to King Ahaziah. Because in the way of his sin, there is judgment. He will not get off his bed that he was laid down in. Is there no God in Israel? What divine jealousy. When those who are called God's people, instead of worshiping and obeying God alone, Jehovah God in Christ Jesus, and worship the gods and the doctrine of the world around them, God is jealous for his glory. We read in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah has to come with the same warning to the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin, Isaiah 43, verse 22, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me. God forbid that we as a church do not continue to call upon our God daily in our prayers, looking to him, depending upon him. Woe unto us if we become weary of our God and his infallible word. If we become weary of his church. We have in our text the language of a neglected and a disregarded friend. For that is what the covenant of grace is, isn't it? It is a relationship that God establishes with his elect people in Christ Jesus, where he is called their God and we are called his people. And we are made friends of God. Do you, some of you girls and boys, it happens so often in school, doesn't it? You think you have a very good friend, and you maybe unburden your heart to them, and then you find out they really weren't such a friend after all, because they blab it to everyone else. Or for one day, this little girl here has a friend here, and the next day she finds out, oh no, she wants to be a friend with someone else, and they're excluded. God is our covenant friend. And when we do not call upon him in prayer, that is, speak to him and look to him, when we become weary of him, he will visit us to correct us. And those who continue in impenitence, he will judge them with wrath. Addressed in our passage is the sin of unbelief, the refusal to hear and rely on the word of God, the refusal to look to God in time of need. What a great sin this was. Cursed are all those that go down the paths that lead to Ekron, to the gods of this world. How is that possible still today? Are we ever guilty of that? Let's say you are stricken with illness. Where do you first look? Is your confidence, is your hope for help right away the doctor's office with all of his skills? Where is a looking to your God in heaven in prayer? Oh, I do not mean that we neglect the medical facilities that God in his mercy provides and his providence. We use them. But where is your ultimate hope? In that man or that woman that's a doctor? Or is it in your God who holds your life in his hands? Where is your will? No matter what, I want to get better. Or is it thy will be done, Father, whether it be in health or in sickness? In prosperity or in sorrow and trouble? How do we become guilty of exactly what King Ahaz was? He was tired of the old religion and in with the new religion. And we do that when we become weary of the preaching of the word. There are those who would come into our midst and say, wow, this is exactly like they used to have church 50 or 75 years ago. I remember folks coming to my church. It was several of the churches, one of them in South Holland, and a choir would come there and say, wow, this seems like a church from way back. Well, that's not all bad, is it? It's not all bad. It means that the center of the worship is not entertainment or a lot of singing, but the center of the worship is the Word of God, where the Lord God presents himself to his people in Christ. There is the sentence of death for those who remain impenitent in their sin. Ahab will not get off his sickbed, but he will die. Oh, what a difference it is for God's people. What do we read in Psalm 27? Jehovah is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Jehovah is the strength of my life, whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. What a picture we have in Psalm 27 there of our Lord Jesus, don't we? There in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the wicked, even his enemies, his foes, came to eat up his flesh, that is to take him captive. Jesus says, "Who are you searching for?" And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus says, "That is me." And they fall over like dead men. What confidence God's people can have in his mercy and his love. He's a very present help. But God is against the wicked. So bring me to the second point, the hardening of King Ahaziah. God's word always has a twofold effect or reaction. That word of God comes, and by God's grace and by his Spirit, the hearts of God's people are melted. When we are shown our sins, we're filled with sorrow, not just at the consequences of sin, but we're sorrowful that we have offended our God, who is a jealous God. And when the word of God comes to God's people, we are irresistibly drawn to him in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful effect of the word. But when that same word of God comes about sin, to the reprobate, their toes are stepped on and they are not very happy. In fact, the sharper God's word is, the clearer that word is, the more uncomfortable they become with it. And they despise it. They hate it. They say, "That's old theology. Out with the old. I want something else." Hardened in their sins. Nothing escapes the sight of God, does it? He observes everything that all mankind do, and all will have to give an account to him on the great judgment day. God's word comes. What a beautiful word that was when it came to the widow of Zarephath, wasn't it? It was a demanding word. "Give me something to eat. And before you serve yourselves, first bake me a cake of that little bit flour and oil, and then serve yourselves." By God's grace, that word came to that widow, and she baked that cake. And she had the company of Elijah in her house for about 2 years. What beautiful things happened. How she was drawn to the God of Israel through Elijah's ministry. The God's word now to the reprobate has also a hardening. That word comes, first of all, by those messengers that return. They were supposed to go to Ekron and find hope for King Ahaziah, but all of a sudden they're back home, and King Ahaziah says, "You didn't make it all the way there. You didn't make it all there. What did you turn around for? Why are you back here again?" Oh, they said, "Yes, we were met with a man. And that man had a message. And that message was, go return. And because the sins that you have continued to abound in, King Ahaziah, you are not going to get off your bed, but you're going to die." And what was his response to that word? And what is our response to the word of God that we have heard today? We heard some hard things, didn't we? I don't think that it's the favorite topic. in church to hear about church discipline or Christian discipline. It's a hard thing. Do we believe? Or do we make all kinds of excuses why we don't have to accept those truths? That it is God, through his office bearers, who rightly divide the word of God, point out sin to God's people that they turn. What is Ahaziah's response? The Lord has taken so much away from him already. Syria defeats Israel, is now an enemy toward the north. Down south of him, King Jehoshaphat finally learns, I will not have anything to do with the ungodly king north of me. Moab to the southeast revolts. Even while King Ahaziah is peacefully resting in his house. And when in God's providence he falls through the lattice, that is, through a window of the upper chamber, he goes to the God of Ekron. What a deliberate, what a public rejection, what a defiant choice. I don't care for the God of Israel. I'm going to look elsewhere. He was proclaiming to the heathen his lack of confidence in Israel's God. And when the messengers come back with that message, you're going to die. Notice King Ahaziah doesn't ask more about the message. Do you have more particulars? He doesn't care about the message. He says, who is the man? Who dared say that to me, the king of Israel? How dare he? And when those messengers tell him he's a hairy man with leather girdle around his waist, King Ahaziah knows. Oh, yes, that same man that came with threats and the word of God to my father as he was standing there in the vineyard of Naboth. It's that same man who comes to pester. It's Elijah, the Tishbite. What disgust. He knows him as the prophet of the Lord, Jehovah, God of Israel, and he hates him. What is his reaction? Kill the messenger and you don't have to listen to the message. Let me get rid of this king, of this Elijah, once and for all, something my dad never was able to do, nor even my mother Jezebel. King Ahaziah declares war on the word of God and on the man of God. Who is the man? And he sends out the captains of his army with their 50 men underneath each one. Marching out to capture this man of God. Bring him before the king, humble him, and put him to death. King Ahaziah thinks that's the way I can live. Put him to death, put the word of God to death, and then I can live. And so in our pericope, we watch these captains with their 50 soldiers underneath them coming to the man of God as he sits there on a hill, defiant. They come, after all, with the authority of King Ahaziah. O thou man of God, come down. And the man of God says, if I am Elijah, the man of God, let fire come down and consume you and your 50. and the fire came down. Do you remember at Mount Horeb? There was the tornado winds that blew. There was the earth that quaked, and there was the fire that came down and burned everything else. And that fire came down now upon that defiant captain and his soldiers who were doing the bidding of King Ahaziah. Is that enough to humble King Ahaziah? No. If the first captain can't do it, I'll send another captain in his 50. And the second captain with his 50 come out, and even more defiantly, "Oh, thou man of God, come down quickly," the king says. "And if I am the man of God," Elijah said, "let fire come down and quench you and your 50. And the fire came down. The word of God is not going to be silenced, and King Ahaziah is not going to live. And that still is not enough, is it? King Ahaziah, in the hatred of the Jehovah God and the hatred of the man who brings the word of God, sends a third captain with his 50. And this captain is thinking, not once, not twice, fire has come down, and he really doesn't like thrice. And we see there his attitude to the prophet of the Lord and the word of the Lord that comes by that prophet. He is humbled, isn't he? He is humbled and he comes begging, "Have mercy upon me. May I and the 50 here find pleasure in your eyes, be accepted before thee." And the angel of the Lord tells Elijah, "Go with him." What a difference between those first two captains with their 50 and now this third captain with his 50. The first two defiant, they don't care for the word of God. They don't believe that God has those power. This third man's learned. He humbles himself before the God of Israel and the prophet of the Lord, Elijah. For the word of the Lord is a savor, a sweet-smelling savor to God. It is a savor of death unto death to the wicked. King Ahaziah, and also the two captains with their armies. But it is a savor of life unto life to those who heed it. And this third man is preserved. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, "Go down with that third captain. Do not be afraid of him." And Elijah believes the word of Christ. If Christ is with me, I don't fear all those who are standing there in Samaria serving Baal. Elijah arose and went down with him unto the king. This angel of the Lord says, "Go," and Elijah goes. And he brings the very word that Christ has given to him, doesn't he? It is a word of wrath. Ahaziah, God is not blind, he is not deaf. He has seen your wickedness. He has heard your songs of pleasure. You will not come off your bed of illness, but you will die. And that is the wrath of God that came not only in the Old Testament times, but it comes all upon all those who defy the living God. God is angry and will destroy them, punishing them, as the Catechism says, in time and in eternity. And in Luke chapter 9, it must be that the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, taking note of what Elijah did with those who would not serve the word of God, they ask Jesus, "Shall we call down fire from heaven also upon some of these Samaritans that will not house thee?" The Lord explains to them, "I have come into this world not for judgment, but to seek and to save the lost." But Jesus Christ is going to come again in judgment, isn't he? At the end of days, at the end of the world, and woe to the unbeliever. Woe unto you or to me if we do not know and love and serve Jehovah God. Woe unto you and me if we do not love our Lord Jesus Christ and see that he is the only way of salvation and life. For Christ is coming again, the first time he comes to suffer and die on the cross. But the second time he is going to come in order to be the judge. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 and following, "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you," that is believers, "and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Beloved, does that make you tremble? The word of God stands. It is a word of judgment to the unbelieving. Those who are rebellious in their sins, those who want to give themselves to the pleasures of the world rather than serving the Lord Jesus Christ. What a difference. When the word of the Lord came to this third captain, he's humble. For the Lord does humble those who are exalted, the first two captains and their host, and he exalts those who are humble. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him. Psalm 34. Elijah goes there right into the presence of King Ahaziah. And he comes into that house of that palace of King Ahaziah with a death sentence. But he is able to leave, isn't he? In the midst of all of wicked Samaria, God is with Elijah. He brings his word, and then he goes on again. And this twofold word that is spoken by Elijah, salvation to those who believe, judgment to the wicked, is the very same message that ministers and elders today have to give as they bring God's word. There is wonderful salvation in believing in Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus came down from the cross, and he took the fire of God's wrath that you and I deserve by our sins. He took it on himself so that we are saved, we are preserved, we have eternal life, fellowship with God. But to all those who do not look to Jesus Christ, who do not believe in Jesus Christ as that substitute for us, the fire of God's wrath comes down in time and in eternity. Beware. Beware. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. God cares for Elijah there in that wicked palace of Ahaziah, just as God cared for Daniel when he was in the lion's den, boys and girls. Remember that? How the angel of the Lord came down and shut the mouths of the lions, and Daniel was saved. Elijah walks out of that palace unharmed. So what is the word of God to his people tonight? May Elijah, and may the remnant in Israel, and may the church today know that God does visit the wicked in his anger and destroys them. And may we know that Israel, the true church, is delivered by that judgment always, and especially at the end of the world. Delivered. Just as Noah was delivered from the wicked world with a flood. Just as Israel was delivered by a passing through the Red Sea from wicked Pharaoh and his host. At the end of the world, the church militant is the church triumphant. And there will be no more militancy against sin in high places or sin within us. For the wicked are banished to hell, and we will reign with Christ Jesus forever and ever. And so let us hear the word of God tonight. What ought King Ahaziah to have done? He should have repented of his sin. He should have had a godly sorrow. A godly sorrow that God works only in his elect people. Let us beware. Let us search our hearts. And in the ways of our sins, let us turn to the Lord in true repentance. Oh, pray for God's grace that you don't harden yourself against God's word and say, ho-hum, I heard it before. Who really cares? I want to have fun. No. Humble yourself. We read in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried around with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and by cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may we grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Oh, that we do not walk, Paul says, as other Gentiles, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened. We cry out to God for his grace, for his mercy. Because we have to remember, don't we, that it was Christ who was bringing that message to King Ahaziah through Elijah. That's the importance of this passage. The angel of the Lord, that is Christ, came to Elijah. He gave him the word that he is to speak. And it is Christ Jesus who continues to give his elders and the pastor that word, his word. And he says to you and me, are you going to look out there in the pleasures of the world to make those things your gods? Is there not a God here in Israel, in his church that dwells in our midst? Is not Christ here by his word and by his spirit? Fall down and worship him. Serve him. God's name must always be defended by us. Elijah comes with the word of God, and King Ahaziah would like to cut it out. Silence the spokesman. He thought Elijah had to die. What King Ahaziah and his captains did not figure is that they did not have merely a man to deal with, but they had God himself and God's word. What blindness, what hardness of heart. May we not harden our hearts, but may we, as we hear that word of God, say, yes, I do look and I do depend and I do trust in Jehovah God, the God who sent his own Son here into the world. What a Savior I have. How I love him. How I'm going to serve him. No matter what governments may do to me, no matter what friends may think of me, I love the Lord. Amen. We thank thee, Father, that the victory is the Lord's. Though men and this world may rage against the church and may rage and ridicule the word of God, it stands. Oh, give us, we pray, give us hearts that are soft, that love thee, that hate our sins, that look to thee alone for help and salvation. And we say, Jesus, Jehovah saves. Amen.